morning, church. Today's reading is from 1 John 4, verses 17 to 21. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Just want to make one more announcement. At the back of the church, we have Bibles. We're going to use them this morning. So if you want to take one, grab one, now is the time. And so let's start with a word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to hear your word, we pause and acknowledge your presence. Quiet our restless thoughts and open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Let your truth sink deep into our souls, transforming us from within. And help us not only to hear, but to be changed by your word. We are here to listen, ready for you to speak. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Picture this. You are in a courtroom. The judge is ready to make a decision, and you can feel the tension in the air. Your heart is racing, your palms are sweaty as you wonder, have I done enough to prove myself innocent? Will I be found guilty? What if I tell you that you could walk in that courtroom on Judgment Day before God with complete, complete confidence? Instead of feeling scared, you could face that moment with peace, knowing that the verdict will be not guilty. Because someone has already taken the fall for you. That's what John is talking about here in the verses that we are having this morning in chapter 4, verse 17 to 21. He describes a life where fear is replaced by freedom and is powered by love. Let's remember a little bit what we have been talking about in chapter 4. Verses 1 to 17 to 16, he just talked about the incredible love of God shown through Christ Jesus coming into the world. God didn't just stay far away and love us from a distance. He became one of us. He became flesh. He became one just like you and me. And that's what the first 16 verses in chapter 4 is talking about. He came and took our struggles. He came and carried our sins. And he overcame death to give us confidence before God. And so today, I want to share with you three powerful truths that we have in the verses for this morning. We will find first the confidence that we have before God because of Jesus, the freedom from fear that comes from his perfect love, and the power to love others just like he loves us. So let's go and let's start with the first truth that we have here in verse 17. Confidence before the day of judgment. Notice how we start in our verse this morning, verse 17. If we go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Here John is pointing us to the day of judgment. And I know that this is not the most popular topic or casual conversation that we will have around the table. It's not something that we usually talk about. But the Bible makes it very clear. Judgment day is real. And this is not a new idea. It's not something that starts Jesus talking about it in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel described it as a day when many of those, if you go with me to Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 12, verse 2 says, 12, verse 2, it says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. I like the version NLT when it says everlasting contempt. It says eternal disgrace. In another version says eternal shame. And Daniel is talking about the judgment day in the Old Testament. But then Jesus himself, if you remember, if you go with me to Matthew chapter 12, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 12, he says in verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Notice that Jesus is not even explaining what is the judgment day. He is assuming that the judgment day is coming. On that day, I tell you, people will give account. But that's Jesus. Then the apostles, if you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in 2 Corinthians, I told you that we were going to use our Bibles. So 2 Corinthians is after 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and it says there, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Judgment day is coming, and it is the day when God will set everything right. Sin, evil, and injustice will be fully and finally dealt with. And so that is Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, but then Peter put it in the most vivid way. And I will like if you go to 1 Peter with me in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. Notice how Peter described this day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people are you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burned. This is a very, very terrifying description of what means the judgment day. And so Peter is saying, again, this judgment day, it's coming. And for those who are not in Christ, it is a terrifying thought. Revelations, at the end, John is describing this event as a great white throne, and the dead are standing before God. The books are open, and people judge according to what they have done. And that is terrifying. What about us? What about us, believers in Christ? Do we live in fear of this day? And the answer is no. Capital N, capital O. No. By this, says verse 17, by this, love is perfected with us. Notice, if you go again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, by this is love perfected with us, so that we must have confidence for that day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. What is this by this that John is talking about here? If you go to the same chapter, but you go to verse 2, it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. By this confession that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, by this love is perfected with us. And notice again, in chapter 4, verse 9, it says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. By this, John says in chapter 4, verse 17, love is perfected. It is the love of God made manifest in Jesus coming in the flesh that is by this love is perfected. It is where the beauty of the gospel comes in. For those who are in Jesus, judgment day is not something to fear. Again, for those who are in Jesus, judgment day is not something to fear. If we are in Jesus, we are saved, just as Noah and his family were saved in the ark. Jesus is our ark of salvation. Jesus said it in the Gospel of John. If you go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 5, and you're going to read here some beautiful verses. The Gospel of John chapter 5 says this in verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and believes him who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, says 25, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Again, judgment day. But he says, but those who believe in the one who sent me, they does not come into judgment. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are entering into his finished work, his righteousness, his perfect life. We are stepping into the place where God's judgment has already been satisfied. Just as the ark was the place of safety for Noah and his family, Christ is the place of safety for you and for me. And that is what John is telling us here. You need to be confident that you belong to Christ. That you have confessed that Jesus came for you. And so the question here is, how does this impact our life today? And I want you to go again to Gospel to the 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. And I want you to read with me something very interesting at the end of that verse. 1 John 4:17 says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. What does that mean? It's a little bit confusing. I was reading and rereading, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Well, the first thing is, as he is talking about Jesus. As Jesus is right now, and Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he is fully righteous. He is fully loved, and he is fully accepted by God. There is no fear in Jesus' relationship with the Father. He is at peace, and he is fully confident in the Father's love. And John says, so also are we in this world. Think about it. So also are we in this world. Just as Jesus is secure in his relationship with the Father, so are we. Even though we are in this broken world, struggling with sin day after day, we can have the same confidence before God that Jesus has. Because we are united to him by faith. The way God sees Jesus is the way God sees you. The way God sees Jesus is the way God sees you. Righteous and loved. Now imagine again walking into a courtroom knowing that the judge has already declared you not guilty. You will not walk in afraid. You will walk in confidently, saying, "Hello, everybody. I'm coming here to receive my verdict. I am not guilty." Not just that. As He is, we are also in this world. And I want to take a minute right now. And I want you to think about this. I don't know about you, but I know myself. I am so hard. I am looking so hard on me. And to be honest, I am right. I'm the worst. But the truth of the gospel is that God is not seeing me. He's seeing Jesus. Because I am in Jesus. So think about that. God is seeing you as He sees Jesus, loved, righteous, and without any blame. So let's take a minute. Let's pray that the Lord will give us the faith to see us as He sees us. Give us the faith, Lord. Want to see myself, Lord, loved, righteous. As He is. Amen. But there is a second truth in this passage. The second truth that we find here is that we have freedom from fear. Notice what it says, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So you see here the struggle, eh? Knowing who we are in Christ, how loved we are. And how we act. So whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The more we understand the love of Christ, the more fear is expelled. Fear is often linked to the unknown. We fear what we can't control or what we don't fully understand. Whether it's the failure or rejection, or as John put it here, the fear of punishment. We fear being exposed, judged, or found lacking. And when it comes to God, this fear can feel even more intense because He knows everything about us. Every thought, every action, every failure. So think about the worst that happened that you did this week. That you do not want anybody to know about that. I'm glad that I cannot see what happened to you, and I'm glad that you cannot. But imagine coming before a God who knows everything. Everything. And yet, John tells us that perfect love has the power to drive out that fear. In the context we have been talking about in 1 John, the perfection of love is found in the love God has for us revealed in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus, fully God and fully man, came into the flesh to show us the ultimate expression of God's love. He didn't come to condemn us, but to save us. I love what Jesus was telling in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night? And after Jesus telling Nicodemus, for God so loved the world, he expound and tell him this in verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Notice this verse is after John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Notice verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name, in the nature, in the confession of the only Son of God. When we understand that we are loved by God, fear has no place in us, because God's perfect love assures us that we are accepted, that we are forgiven, and that we are secure. And the more we understand that, the less fear we have in our hearts. When we know that we belong to him, says at the end of verse 18, in 1 John 4, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been fully perfected in love. In other words, when we are still living in fear, we haven't fully grasped or embraced God's perfect love for us in Christ. And I'm not talking about being perfect here, or flawless in our love. Instead, it's about God's love reaching its full expression in us. We not only believe in Jesus, but also allow the love of Jesus to transform us and to flow through us. Then, in this wind, when we are becoming perfected, the love is becoming perfected in us. Just as Christ lived out his love for us, so then we can start to grow in that love, and he's going to overflow. It's like, imagine a cup filled with water. When the cup is full, the water starts to overflow. Right, Carlitos? He left one cup one Sunday on the tap and opened the tap, and the water started to flow and flow and flow. And what happened, Carlitos? Overflow. That's what happened when the love of Christ starts to overflow our hearts. Fear is gone. And we start to live not for ourselves, but the same love that we have received. And that's how John finished his chapter 4 here. Notice what he says in verse 19, and that's the third truth. We are now overflowing of love, that we have this power to love. Verse 19 tells us we love because first he loves us first. If you want to memorize a Bible verse, instead of Jesus cry, memorize John 4, chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loves us. That's the homework for next week. You are in Awana right now, memorizing Bible verses. Let's say it together. We love because he first loves us. The ability to love does not come from us. It comes from God. We can love because he loves us. The incarnation is the greatest demonstration of this. God did not wait for us to get our act together. He will wait forever. He did not love us because we were lovable. He can wait forever. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 reminds us, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our love for others flows out of the love we have received from God. This love is not based on feelings. It's not based on a decision or a commitment to love. Even when it is hard, this love is only a demonstration or a consequence of the love that we have received first. And as we receive that love, we are called to do the same. We are called to do and to love others. And not just the people we like. Notice what John closed in verse 20 of chapter 4. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brothers, he is a liar. Oof. John. Let's continue. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And verse 21, and this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Saint Augustine once said, love slays what we have been. slays what we have been, that we may be what we were not. God's love kills the old. God's love kills the old selfish and hateful person we once were and transforms us into people who love like Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves, how are you loving? Are you easy to forgive? Or are you a kind of person like me that he or she need to suffer a little bit? Then I will forgive or forgive her. But the love of Christ overflows. What can I do for Jesus to show love to my brother and to my sister? Think about the things that you can do out of love in this church to show that you are willing to sacrifice your comfort, your wealth, your health for the love of those who are in need in this church. I know that we are saturated probably with many other things right now serving in this church, but I'm telling you, there is more. And I'm telling you, you can have the power to do more, not because of you, but because of the sacrificial love that Jesus shows us on the cross. That moves you to do more. Even when you think that you cannot do more. The love of Christ. Paul was saying, I'm willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of those who Jesus loved. And so the love of Christ compels us, moves us to overflow. Not to be content to say, I love my brother and my sister because love, God loves me first. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the confidence you have given us through Jesus. Because of his love, we no longer need to fear judgment, but can stand before you, covered in grace and love and mercy. This morning, Lord, we pray that you will help us to live in the freedom that you perfected on the cross. And we pray that you will give us the strength, Lord, to love others just as you loved us. We pray that you will empower us to reflect your love in our relationships, in our service, in our commitment to you and to our brother and our sister beside us. That we may saturate this church, this community, this city with the love that we have received through Christ Jesus. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.